This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning and welcome to it. It's that time of the day. It's that time of the week. It's the weekly mashup with myself, Dimisha Masha. Unfortunately, if you were hoping to hear your girl Candy, she is in another part of the world. I think she's in Bloemfontein this week. So I'm riding solo. But it's okay. I've got a couple of studio guests with me today. And we're going to have a great time. I hope that you are in the mood to hear some really exciting stories, personal stories, as well as really exciting stories about life, about business, about getting your stuff together. You know, I thought that I was going through a lot of pain until I heard one of our guest stories, and I'm like, shut up, stop being such a sissy. So that's what's happening today. We started off with Rihanna Needed Me. She's like currently my favorite chick, like on anything. I don't know if any of you saw the MVAs. If you did, though, it was like basically an extended Rihanna show, maybe featuring the MVAs and some Beyonce, but yo, if Rihanna comes to South Africa, I'm leaving with her. I'm telling you now, guys. Like, let's just get the money for her lobola ready for me. I know that there are a lot of you out there who also want to be with Rihanna, but I got dibs, okay? So without any further ado, you know you're on the weekly mashup. That's how we do. There are a lot of things that happened this week. I'm not sure what, though, because I feel like the week has just passed me by. So the DA is now in charge, like properly, of Joburg. So like the blessers out there are getting less and less. I think, ladies, if you haven't got a blesser yet, like you've literally got a month to find one, get that flat or townhouse, get that Mini Cooper. Otherwise, like the gate is closing very, very fast. I don't know if DA does blessers, but I think they do. Just check out Cape Town. All right, so without any further ado, here are my guests right now. I've got Lerato Masha, and they're with us here today. Lerato, say hi, man. How you doing?
Hello.
No relation, by the way. No relation. It just happens to be a Masha. I've also got Tanya Detoit. Let's make sure that your mic is nice and close to you there, Tanya.
Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm good. Can you just help her with that mic, Tanya, so that it's right? Not help Tanya, rather. There you go. And we've got Siapehi Dumisa. How are you doing, my dear?
Hi, Dumi.
Are you good?
Thank you. I'm good, thank you.
It's so good to have you in the studio with me.
Thank you so much.
Let me see. I think you guys are a little bit low. We're in the new studio, by the way. Brand new everything. Thibaut Taj came here and he just took over. So it's the opposite of what happened with the DA. Gareth and Cliff Central, we were like the DA because we were the white station, right? And then the black people came and then they took our studio. So we're in a new studio. It's wonderful though. Just getting used to it. You guys cool?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
All right.
Thank you.
So without any further ado, let's get started. Basically, I asked these people, all of them, my friends and others that I've just met, to come to the studio because I wanted to talk to you guys about life in general. Like, you've got amazing stories, all of you. Lerato's on crutches at the moment. He just had, is it a hip replacement?
No.
What happened there with your hip?
I had some torn ligament.
Okay.
Because of a deformation on my bone.
All right.
So they had to replace some of my ligaments and then basically deal with the bone as well.
Okay, but you're doing well though. I mean, and you know, could it have been caused by your many years of jiving?
Or kickboxing? Remember I used to do kickboxing?
Oh, kickboxing as well. Yeah, but that was a long time ago. But you were jiving for longer than you were doing kickboxing. It's one of those things. It's a sign from God that, you know what, it's enough with the clubbing. Don't you think? Although it hasn't happened to me yet. Maybe it's a sign from God that I must keep going.
Sure.
But you're also, a plant manager for two of Nampak plants in Gauteng.
Director.
Yeah, let me say it properly because, you know, with you guys, you don't want to say it wrong. So what exactly do you do? Who are you? What are you?
I'm Lerato Masha. I work for Nampak. I'm a manufacturing director. So
okay.
In essence, I look after Nampak's operations within our division in South Africa. So we've got two plants in Joburg, one in Cape Town and one in Durban.
Oh, and so you manage all of those?
Sort of. Yeah, well, I'm trying.
Like you either do or you don't.
Well, sort of.
And what do you guys do? What do you make there?
Okay, in Joburg, we make toothpaste tubes at one of the plants, which is in Jet Park.
Okay.
And then we've got a plant.
So like all the toothpaste, like not just
GSK Colgate and GSK. So those are our main customers. And plus we've got other smaller customers.
Glasgow
Smith & Klein.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's our biggest customer that we have. And on the other side, Megapack, we make crates, your beer crates, bread crates, all sorts of crates, meat crates.
Thanks for getting the beer to us, man. I really appreciate
it. We also make drums from your 25 liters to 160 liters in the same plant. So it's a huge plant at Olifantsfontein. In Durban, it's interesting. We make your closures, what you call caps, sports caps, as you your Energate caps, your milk caps.
So the caps for the bottles.
Bottles, Valprez, one of our customers, for example.
Okay.
And then in the Cape Town plant, we make metal caps.
The bottle doesn't come with the cap. You buy a bottle at another place and a cap somewhere else.
And you buy the labeling somewhere else as well.
We'll come back to that. We also got Tanya. Do I say Tanya Dutoit or Tanya Gecko? Which one do you prefer?
No, Tanya Dutoit.
Dutois. I love it. Okay. That's Tanya. Like sort of French, isn't it?
That is.
Oh, I don't care. You know, it's beautiful. I just love the way you are speaking your French accent.
Oh, from my, obviously, my father's side is Tanya Greco.
Greco,
which is the Italian.
So you're Italian French?
I'm Italian French and Welsh. My mom brings the French and the Welsh.
So when you're not like smoking endless cigarettes, you're throwing stuff around the house.
Don't smoke. But I drink a lot of wine and
oh, okay. Yeah, because the French are known for that. But you also have an incredibly interesting background when it comes to you know, what you've done corporate wise. Take us through that. I mean, at some point you basically set up the infrastructure for MTN before the World Cup 2010, right?
We did. We especially on data. So I was asked to lead the project.
I'm going to ask you to just get a little bit closer to the mic. Like, love that mic.
Okay.
There you go. That's
there,
it.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It comes with being short, I suppose. So, yes, it was the project was actually in crisis, and we were called in, and I was under the auspices in those days of IBM.
Mm-hmm.
And we were basically asked to rescue the project because, obviously, if MTN didn't deliver the project back in those days, there obviously were penalties. And the big thing was to launch data packages, real-time online data, and also so people could buy a 90-minute bundle and view the game because a soccer game is 90 minutes.
But hang on a second. Why is data so expensive in South Africa? Like, I'm still asking that question. The other day, I got a 10,000 rand bill just for data.
Sure. I don't know, but I think that would be better directed at MTN. We didn't deal with the costing in that. We are more of the technical side.
But I mean, generally, you know, data is like far more expensive in SA than like
anywhere else in the world.
So are we like? Is it just because of the distance? It takes a long time for the data to get here, as compared to Europe.
And not at all.
You know,
I think the thing is. In all fairness, if you look at...
We're just suckers, so they're just taking us for it.
Yeah, the thing
just
is, like, I think, you know, ICASA, you've also got to go back to ICASA because they obviously legislate.
Okay.
They do a lot of the legislation, and I did a lot of work for ICASA many years ago. And we wrote a lot of the legislation in the early days. In a former company that I was with. So, you know, what has been rolled out, great, but there's a lot of stuff that hasn't been rolled out and that obviously would have governed the things that you are discussing now.
Fair enough.
But again, you know, it's up to ICASA to do that or the Minister of Communications. Mm. I was under the Minister at that time, Dr. Ivy Kasaburi.
Okay. And a lot has changed since then. But also, that's not what you started. You started like as an engineer at places like ISCO of all things in the world.
Yes, I did. I think, you know, being a Durban girl and coming up from Durban, you know, we came to Jersey to find gold. I think the sad part is there's no more gold. No.
The gold was finished there by the time you got it. It was gone.
Gone. So at the end of the day, I think, you know, that was back in the I don't want to obviously give my age away, but let's say a couple of years ago.
A couple of decades ago, perhaps.
Thanks, Josh.
It's okay. Yeah. You know, a couple of decades ago, I was also starting my first job.
So, you know, I think even those days, work was hard to find. And I think being a woman engineer back then in a male-predominant world was very hard to, one, get in.
Yeah.
I still remember, and I think it's a story that I tell people, and especially young girls, is that, you know, when I first... It was a bit different back in those days. Is when you completed your university, a lot of companies came to interview you, to hire you.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Especially if you'd studied engineering.
So what they would have is they'd have like cocktails and a wine and dine, and then they would interview the students, and you would then get to be nominated by one or two companies.
Mm-hmm.
Back in those days, it was actually Bancorp Data, which is obviously we know as ABSA today. And I was invited to come up. They flew me up, Bancorp Data flew me up to Republic Road, laid on the works. And it was myself.
So they pulled out the good wine. It wasn't the box wine.
No, they pulled out the good stuff. They even told me about the golf course and all the frills and the benefits. And the thing at the end of the day, and this is the thing, and I don't want to think it was between myself and a gentleman.
Mm. But you just had better results. You had better marks, clearly.
No, I didn't. No, it wasn't all about results. At the end of the day, and this is what people don't understand, is I was a woman, he was a man. They were more concerned about me falling pregnant than staying, because they didn't want to invest in somebody.
And then next thing, like, you have to go off because you just had a baby.
Exactly.
How unfortunate.
And yet, all my life, I've never fallen pregnant. Mm, so that was a really bad gamble they took.
They could have used you to your maximum.
Exactly.
Like,
so it went for the fella because he wouldn't have babies, right?
Well, I mean, like, they wouldn't pop out of him.
No.
But you possibly would have them. But you're both engineers, actually. What kind of engineer are you, Tanya?
I'm an electronic engineer.
Electronic. Lerato, are you?
Industrial engineer.
Industrial engineer. Yeah. Okay. And then we've also got a lovely lady here by the name of Siapehi Dumisa. Did I say that right?
Siapehi Dumasi.
Siapehi Dumasi.
Yes.
Oh, of course, Siapehi. Dumasi, not Dumisa.
Yes.
You know, that was confusing for me because it's almost like Dumisa, like the Nguni version, but it's not.
This one is a Tsonga version. Dumasi is... My husband is Tsonga.
But your first name is
Mosotho. Mosotho, yes.
What does Siapehi mean?
Siapehi is a Siapehi. Chef.
Siapehi. Oh, Umpegi. Okay. You cook everything. What are you cooking
I
now?
I try.
We know that you're cooking Fabricana at the moment, aren't you?
Yes.
Tell us
a
little bit about Fabricana and your background there.
Okay. So Fabricana, we do African prints. That's what we specialize in. More so revolutionizing the African print. So, incorporating it into daily lifestyle, your clothing, office wear, everyday wear, weddings, and right now we're working on a new range for the home, as well as a summer, spring, everyday range.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's what Fabricana is about.
All right. I'm actually going to try and take a picture for you guys so you can see the head... Well, is it a head scarf or head wrap?
Head wrap, duku.
Duku.
Yeah.
But this is like a new kind of duku. It's not like the duku that you are forced to wear, like, you know, if you're unfortunate enough. Like to be, you know what I mean? This is like something, it's on another level.
Yes.
I want you guys to see this. So I'm going to take a picture so everyone can see what we're talking about. Look at that. Oh, ish, you know, this touch screen. I hope it worked. Nice. Look, it's a little bit out of focus, but, you know, it was because I was talking and taking the picture at the same time. What's your handle, by the way, on Twitter? So while I do this quickly.
Okay, I don't have Twitter. Instagram is Fabricana Prints.
Fab. So that's where people can find. So just tell me a bit about, like, your background in fashion. How did that come about? Did you start out in fashion? Is this something that you pursued from before? Were you, like, working for Edgars at one point?
Not at all. In fact, I'm so excited to see Lerato Masha here. My career started, well, with him. We met at the graduate program, the NAMPAC graduate program.
Oh, so you're also an engineer?
No, I'm not an engineer. By profession, I'm an internal auditor. So that's where we met Lerato and I. But I decided to run away or chicken out from the corporate world. When the creative juices started, you know, working in me. But with fashion, I've always been in love with art, in love with design. I've always loved it from a very young age. I've loved interiors. I've worked in interior design for a bit. So my love for fashion actually was sparked when I moved to Zambia a few years ago with my husband's work. And I fell in love with the African prints there, started bringing them this side. And something was planted to start a fashion brand to modernize the African print.
Nice.
Yes. So because I sketch, I love
art. Here's the thing, what were they doing in Zambia that maybe the rest of us aren't doing, either in South Africa or the rest of Africa, that you found so intriguing with their prints?
I found that they love their Africanness. They hardly ever wear Western stuff. They love their African prints. They wear it as they wear them as shorts, as skirts. They wear them every day. So I wanted to take that into South Africa to be proud of being African, being proud of our African prints, our Africanness, our colorfulness. So that's what it is.
Okay, so since then, what kind of fashion have you guys gone into? I know it's not just the head wraps and the headscarves. There's like, I've seen some of your range. You know, you've got beautiful clothing for men and women, but with it's all modern stuff. You can wear it to the office, but with a really beautiful African flavor to it.
Yeah. So, like I said, we try by all means to modernize the African print, not only for everyday wear, but also weddings, functions. You'd be attending a function with your African print. Also accessories. We've also we also have clutch bags, neck pieces, bangles. So not only just clothing.
It's also accessories as well.
Also accessories for the home as well.
Well, we're going to get back to the fashion side of things. Tanya, what I wanted to talk to you about is you've come up with some really exciting, in fact, you know what? Grab one of those there, if you will. Everyone can have their own earphones. You can't hear anything?
Yes.
You can hear?
Yeah.
Okay, you can hear yourself. Great. So, Tanya, you've come up with some really amazing detergents as well as soaps that anyone not only can they use, but probably should use. Tell us a bit about your detergents, because I know that you are a cancer survivor. Am I correct?
Correct.
And because of that, you've come up with some amazing detergents that can really help people stay healthy.
Correct, Tamisha. What I've done is, I think it was more due to my own experience going through cancer, going through the treatment, living in an oncology ward for almost 5 months. I think through that and the changes that your body takes, I think you don't ever take anything personally until it affects you in such a way that you've got to look at alternatives. So I've been driving now, and as I said to you, this is an embryonic stage, really. It's a seed that was planted. And I'm now looking at chemicals, soaps, everything, because the beginning of this year, it was actually a blessing. It sounds weird, but it was a blessing. A friend of mine from the UK asked me to nurse his father.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, his father was very ill. And I know this sounds really weird, but I nursed him to death and give him the dignity prior to his ending. And even back then, I realized that whether you are suffering from something, you know, with a terminal illness, or you're nursing somebody else, you need care, you need hygiene. And I think it goes back to Sister Teresa, where she wanted to give people dignity to die on clean sheets and bathe them and make sure that they felt good before they took their final breath.
Yeah.
And I think basically on that and everything that I've dealt with, that's why this door has opened. So I've now looked at different chemicals in that, and there's so many harmful chemicals in the stuff that we use today.
Tell us a bit about that, because, you know, a lot of people say things like, once you've used detergents and that sort of thing, you know, a lot of that water is basically lost because there's such a lot of horrible stuff in the chemicals that we use.
Well, look, in lots of the stuff that we're currently using today, there's a lot of phosphorus, there's a lot of ammonia. Okay. I mean, people know ammonia from bleach, from your handy-andy, your chemicals. Okay, and then obviously in your personal home care, you've got sodium lauryate, or what people call as SLS or SLES. And, you know,
SLES.
I know. So the thing is, you know, these things are all harmful. And I think if you're, you know, when you go through chemo and radiation, or you're taking a lot of medication and you've gone through surgery and you're trying to heal, like my colleague here on the left, he's also gone through a lot of pain. And things like that, and you've got wounds, and it's very, you can't just do the things that you used to do. So, the stuff that you use, you find burns you, you know. And with my cancer journey, is my hair fell out, my skin fell off, and the thing is, it was very difficult. What do you use in that? environment, and it's not just about your personal care, it's also your laundry liquid, it's also your Stay Soft, it's all the things.
It's your toilet cleaner even.
Exactly.
You know, what you use to clean the bath after you've taken a bath, right?
Correct. And the thing is also, my cancer metastasized to my lungs, and I've had 17 5-rand coins cut off my lungs, so my breathing and my breath, it's impaired. So I smell things very deeply. I mean, I walk into a hotel or a hospital, I smell their kitchen and their drains before I smell anything else.
Oh my goodness.
So, you know.
So if you were a superhero, you'd be like, drain woman.
No, thank you.
Super smell. I can smell you've been at Taboo. I know, because they use a particular detergent in their bathrooms. No, I wasn't. I swear.
But I mean, it's not something that I make common knowledge. But the thing is, your everything becomes heightened once you've gone on chemo, and it's just one of those things. So that's why I've literally gone back to grassroots and looked at how can I help people. And literally, it's my mission is to clean up South Africa. And by doing that, we, through Rivers and through a lady by the name of Nushka Zwane, she said to me, Tanya, when I was at my lowest, she said to me, Tanya, God's got a plan for your life. And she said to me, we're going to see bigger and better things from you. And the first thing that she did is we went on a training course and we ran the Shine program. And in the Shine program, there were three fundamentals or foundations that program taught you, was the worth, that actually I have worth, body and soul, that strength, and I have strength to choose life, which I did, because you can die from this terminal illness, by the way. And purpose is that I have hope in a future. And obviously based on that, by teaching these girls, and we basically took them right down to the basics of what it was like to be a woman, giving them that worth, that strength, that purpose, that value, it all starts with their personal hygiene and cleanliness, because cleanliness is next to godliness.
But here's the thing I wanted to ask you. What are you calling your products at the moment?
The products at the moment...
What do you plan to call them?
Because what we,
that's really
that's more the thing, yes. So we played around with a lot of names, and I would actually say the name came to me literally a couple of days ago, where I was awoken, and you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said to me, God's flowers. God's flowers for you.
Okay.
And in Italian it's fiori di Dio per voi, or in French, and my French is not that good, is Les Fleurs de Dieu.
Les Fleurs de Dieu.
There we go.
So you got to just have a different mouth.
There we go. De Dieu.
That's how you got to do it in French.
So that is the journey that we are on. And what we're busy doing now is with the soaps that we make, and we work, because I've always worked very, very closely with the girls in the townships and that. We give them they've got acne problems, they've got eczema problems, they've got skin problems and things like that. And we've just seen it being so rewarding, because instead of turning to...
We're talking about like the teenagers, right?
The teenagers. Actually, women never stop having skin problems.
Oh, okay.
It's a fallacy to think you only have it in your teenage years.
Oh.
You know, it depends. Because we lead such a stressful life... we go through so much as women, because we have hormones, and I know men
play havoc.
There we go.
I know all about them hormones. Like 2, 3, 4 different people that you live with occupying the same body.
Who are you
and what have you done with my wife? Anyway, we'll come back to that as well, though. But Mr. Masha, I'm also interested in what you are doing now. I mean, we've heard about what you're doing in NAMPAC.
Yeah.
And, the big stuff there, but you've got something that's coming that's in the pipelines that's quite exciting. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, look, how it started is, firstly, I have an obsession for Africa, and that's why I even have a tattoo of Africa as well. Okay.
And by the way, the show is about, I suppose, African business today.
Exactly. You know,
business people. That's why you three are here.
Yeah,
and also just African products and interesting things that we're doing that are different. That's why all of you are here. So what are you doing, man?
So at some point, after reading I Love What I Write by Steve Biko, I go.
I like what I write.
I write what I like.
So I write what I like. Yeah.
I write what I like.
I write what I like, and I like what I write.
God, it's the nerves. So anyway, I just at some point of my life, I think at 35, I felt that I've achieved a lot. I've moved up the corporate ladder, did an MBA, did all of these things.
MBA, and, like MBA. I mean, say it so we can hear it. Don't
MBA,
be ashamed
so
of it,
brother.
After
my MBA, it's like, you know, what is then my purpose?
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, my purpose could be I want to make a movie about this guy.
Steve Biko.
And Tumisho Masha being playing Biko as
Yay,
well.
Yay, I'm supporting that, man.
And
I need the work right now.
One day it was around 3 o'clock and I was thinking about this movie, how I'm going to do it and blah, blah, blah. And the one thing that came into my mind is that, you know, at what platform am I going to use to showcase this movie?
Yeah, because it's one thing to make the movie.
To make
but
it at what
where
platform?
Are we going to see it?
Because you know, I know there's issues in terms of distribution in South Africa and blah, blah, blah. And at the end, I sort of thought about the platform in itself. And then while I was thinking of the platform, and I said, hang on, man, when there is something African, it's a bit difficult in terms of the distribution. It's like, what's up, he was talking about hair stuff, you know, to get yourself out there. And it also just brought me back to the platform. And I thought, okay, every time I have to go to a wedding and I'm looking for something African, I must
where do you even
get the
it?
Contacts of this auntie, go to downtown Joburg.
In fact, you know, like our listeners listening right now, if you've experienced, you know, you wanted a certain product, but you couldn't get it anywhere.
Exactly.
Tell us those stories. Let's share them. Let's find out how you found the things that you were looking for. But, you know, with you, what did you come up with?
It's basically an e-commerce platform, which is called mafrican.com. And the reason mafrican is basically was inspired by two events. In 1906, Pixlika Isakaseme made a beautiful speech while at the States called The Regeneration of Africa. In
by
which
the
Thabo
way, he
Mbeki
was one of the founding members of the ANC.
Yes,
you know.
Yes. And then in 1996, Thabo Mbeki's speech, famous speech.
Yeah, I am an African.
And all of that got me motivated, and that's when we started mafrican. So how mafrican works...
And by the way, it's mafrican or ama-African.
So you can read it both ways.
You can read
it
the way you like. I like
so
that.
So how the platform works, it's a two-way or two-fold platform. So you connect your suppliers and your customers. So basically, I'm looking at my suppliers on the side.
Okay,
well.
so these ladies are your suppliers.
My suppliers.
Okay, and I am your customer.
Exactly. And how it works, mafrican will basically work like an online mall. In which we'll be showcasing different products, starting off with accessories similar to what Sape is making, similar to what Tanya. And then phase two and phase three will be get the digital site or the movies.
Okay,
music.
I see. So from phase two, what we're talking about is, I suppose, the intangible stuff.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily like you have a product that landed, but it's on your device, whether it's a mobile device or a laptop or tablet. I see.
Because I think the vision was more like if ever I was looking for a book by Skiam Pahlele.
Yeah, or that one by Pixley, you know?
By Pixley, the one that I was reading. Or I was looking for an LP by Huma Sikela featuring Hezola Sounds. Or I was looking
which
for
you
African,
cannot find.
Which you can find.
It's not on
then
iTunes.
mafrican.com becomes a platform in which, as an African, you can find anything that is African.
So is that how this platform will be different to anything that we've seen before, like Take A Lot? Like an Alibaba, I suppose, or any other, I suppose, online shopping platform.
I think from the mechanic side of things, they basically similar because we're talking e-commerce.
Yes.
But in terms of the product offering, that's where the difference comes in. And also the complexity around it, which is the beauty of it as well, is that if I, for example, it will cater for that lady that's sitting at Parkhurst selling these nice picnic blankets. You know, she'll be now able to expand her market base as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the difference is. And the difference as well is that there'll be a lot of backward integration. Unlike your Take A Lot, where they work with brands that are already in they've got the structures in place. So with our suppliers, some of them, we have to do a bit of training.
So there'll be a lot of economic development as well.
And for me, that's basically the core of this whole thing.
It sounds very African, you know.
Yes.
Izandla
ziyageza. That's it.
So basically, it's not like we're just taking your product and selling it. It's we're also helping you make your business grow and better and more efficient. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's why I'm talking to all of you guys here at the same time, because I think what you're offering is obviously very African products because you're from Africa, but it's stuff that we've seen before, but not in this way. You know, we all use detergents every single day. We all use soap every single day, but you actually make the soap. At the moment, you're making it in your kitchen.
Yes, I am.
How crazy is that? I mean, how is that? Like, people come to your house and you are cooking a batch of soap.
I know.
So it's literally handmade
it
soap.
It is handmade soap, yes. And that's, I have a helper. Caroline is my right-hand lady. She's there, obviously, from a health perspective because she knows what to do if I fall ill. But what happened to her is that when she first came into my life, and let me tell you, from the onset, she's a blessing. She's an absolute blessing. She had worked for me for 3 weeks, and her husband literally dropped dead at work.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay? And she has three children.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've looked at it. She's been a godsend to me. And the thing is, she has three children that she's got to raise and put through school and things like that. So we came together. And as you were saying about the African thing, sorry. So that's why I've included her in my business, and we are going forward, and we are putting soaps together that are for African skin, okay, and also looking at our African climates.
Yes,
you know, and through that there will be a legacy left there for her children to take on, and they, because we also know that our economy that they don't. Her son is about to go out into to the big wide world. He is 18, and the thing is, does he have to go and look for a job in a conventional way? No, let him be an entrepreneur. And I think with the platform that we have now, and we've just heard about, you know, that opens doors for us and even for the younger generation, that they don't have to go like we conventionally went to look for work. They can become the entrepreneurs, and those platforms are in place to facilitate.
I want to get back to... I want to come back to this especially, but I want to find out from you the difference in your life from being your own person in terms of an entrepreneur and doing stuff that you care about. I know that you've been an entrepreneur in terms of being a consultant. You've opened up a spa, as in not where you go get a massage, but where you go and
spa,
buy...
good for you.
Yes, where you buy groceries, right? But what has the main difference in, like, holistically your whole life been right now with what you're doing now and what you were doing then? The high-flying businesswoman to... you know, a caring, not only are your products caring for us, but even the way you're running your business is quite different from the conventional way you did it before.
To me, yes. I think because I had a long time in quarantine because of my lungs, you know, it put a lot of things in perspective. That high-flying life, basically I became a casualty to it. So I think, and I think also when you're young, you chase money. I think the biggest thing is we see that money is the big thing, and we've got to have it, because to have, if you've got money, you'll get everything else. And I think the biggest change in my life is I've put that, the pride, the arrogance, the financials, all of that behind.
Okay.
Because I think in one way I used to fear them if I didn't have them.
Yeah.
And now I live fearless.
Yeah. But I mean, they are important. You can't.
They are important.
You really can't do much without the money.
You can't, but the problem is what you've got to realize, you are not your provider. And I think the fundamental thing for me there is it taught me that when I was filled with chemo, I had no arms, missing almost, well, one leg that didn't work, two arms that didn't work, and basically weighed down with chemo, there isn't anything, or, you know, what can you do for yourself?
What can money buy you, really? Well, money, I guess maybe it can buy you a better hospital bed, though.
Exactly.
You're not exactly like going to be sitting in Bara.
But what I'm saying is, the high-flying businesswoman, what could she do then? She couldn't bring in an income.
Okay. But here's the thing, right? And I want to just touch on that since we've gone there. I mean, you didn't just... I think what we forget is we've heard the story before. We think, you went through, you know, you went through some chemo, but you actually went through some major operations.
Yes,
one, they almost amputated your leg. Two, they literally took your lungs out of your body, took the cancer out of the lungs, and then put them back and stapled your back together.
Correct.
Am I correct?
Correct.
And you, at some point, could not even walk. You could not even feed yourself. Like you said, you had lost your hair, your skin. How do you recover from something like that? Were you at a point where you're like, I don't even want to recover? You know, I was reading your story and you said the reason why they put you on suicide watch is because when you realize what they've just put you through, you would actually want to have taken your life if you knew exactly what it was that you were going to go through.
I think you're on, look, the whole journey is you're on a needs to know basis. And I think the doctors are very careful about what they do tell you. And you sort of like, it's sort of like dealt out to you little bit by little bit.
Because it would be too much if they gave all to you at the same time.
I think on the 6th of April 2013, if they had told me what journey lay ahead, you know, it...
We would have been like, no, thank you. I tell you what.
Yes.
Just give me some strong morphine and give me a nice bed to sit on and play my favorite channel on DSTV and let's just do this, right?
Yeah, and let's just go calmly.
go calmly into that good night. But here's the thing, right? Now that you survived all that, how's your outlook changed when it comes to the everyday niggles and struggles of life? Do you think that you handle them better now?
I think the saying goes is, I'm not out to win the battle, I'm out to win the war. Mm. So the little things... Don't, you know, I look at the things that people get.
You don't sweat the small stuff.
Exactly.
You don't mind who moved your cheese.
No, not at all. As long as you still get a little bit of cheese.
A little bit of cheese at the end, right? Doesn't matter if the cheese was moved.
You know, so I think it's all relative under the circumstances. And, you know, it's like also what our Pastor Andre talks about it all the time, is it's, you know, I think we get so caught up in the little, we don't see the bigger picture. And I think... At the end of the day, we need to also, when we look at the bigger picture, we also need to look at the people around us and what is our purpose, and also what is the purpose that they play within our lives, and what is the purpose that we play within theirs.
Okay, but and speaking of that, the lady that you're talking about who works with you, what's her name again?
Caroline.
In your soap business.
Caroline.
So you and Caroline are doing this together, but she's actually a partner in this whole thing. So yes, should anything happen to you, Caroline not only knows how to make the product, she will actually literally take over.
That's correct.
And I suppose that's part of like your journey, and that was important to you.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have children, so I think a lot of people...
You can adopt me.
Okay. Thanks, Jimmy. and I think God has always sent me other people's children to take care of, and it's been the story of my life. I even had a friend one day where, you know, she was going through marital problems, and I got her 2.5-year-old and her helper to my home. Well, she brought them, and I was an instant mom. So, you know, I see God's purpose caring for others very and meeting them where the need needs to be met.
Okay. And speaking about that, then, with, you know, you also make lotions.
Yes, I do.
Your lotions are not, I suppose, conventional, because like you said, they're made for the climate, South African climate.
Correct.
And you know, the kind of people that will be using the lotions is, I suppose, when you're out there and it's cold, right, on a winter's day in South Africa, especially in Gauteng, you know, for black skin, for us, we tend to get ashy if the lotion is not strong enough. Have you made that lotion strong, man? Because I don't want to get, you know, especially my hands.
We've just, what is just literally, and I think you saw that the other day, that has come out of the black ceramic pot.
Yeah.
Is a lotion that's, is for really chapped skin and broken skin, and where skin is very, very dry. So we are looking at that, and we're trialing that right now before we really put it out to the commercial market. And we do have, and I work with a lot of women and people, you know, Alex is very close to my heart. So we have a lot of girls there that try the soaps, the creams and everything. And if you just see their glowing faces and the way their bodies are reacting, it's amazing.
Okay. Lots of shiny, happy people, I suppose.
Well, a lot of happy girls. And you know what? They're going to go out and do great things, you know?
Oh, that's awesome,
that's
man.
That's important.
Sabi.
Yes, to me, sure.
I saw your catalog, and I was really impressed by the kind of models that you used as well. Not only because one of them was my sister, but actually the fact that you used different shapes and sizes of people. You didn't stick to that whole, you have to be this tall, you have to be this skinny to be a model.
Yeah.
And what it showed to me was that your clothes can work on anybody. You know,
yeah.
I suppose that was a consideration that you made purposefully to make sure that, you know, the African body can really appreciate
is catered for
with your clothes, right?
That's true. So I'm passionate about the African figure. Lesedi's my model, as you mentioned, and she's curvaceous, she's beautiful. So am I.
No doubt, I'm looking at you right now. But you just say you're
so married. When you go into a Woolies or an Edgar's or towards fitting jeans, it's a
struggle.
It's
a
problem. So I took that into consideration, and we fit from size 28 to size 44.
Okay.
And the nice thing about us is that we custom make to your exact specifications.
So you guys even make jeans?
Not yet.
Not yet, but you're thinking about it. Because that is difficult. That's a tough one. But like some of the stuff that you make in terms of clothing then, just run me down like just a few items that you're really proud of. I know you make suit jackets and things like that, right?
Yes,
you make dresses for formal occasions, for weddings.
Yes, skirts, tops, I mean anything that
men's clothes as well. It's not just for ladies.
Yeah, men's shirts, work shirts, anything. I mean, I get clients coming to me asking from anything, even kids stuff. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
So we make anything.
So formal, casual, and anything in between.
Yes. And we also do a mixture of plain linens, plain cottons, incorporating the African print.
Okay. What do you think are some of the obstacles that you found with your business, trying to get it from where it was to where it is now and to where you want it to go?
Oh, okay. I think the main obstacle has been funding, or lack of funding. Mm. It's been a struggle. But like Tanya said, we are not our own providers. God is the provider.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm living testimony, or the business is living testimony. Mm. We go through each stage and everything is provided for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not saying that we don't need funding anymore.
Of course,
we still do. Do need it. Sorry, there's music playing in my earphones. Is
that's
normal?
That's the bed music.
Is that normal?
Yes, it's normal. Otherwise, it's just silent.
Okay. Yeah. So I think the main one is the funding. But we're getting there. Today is actually Fabricana's second birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we have grown from strength to strength.
But where can people find your products? Where can they buy your stuff right now? So before we have African up and running, where can we get it?
Okay. Right now we're online. We used to have a shop, closed it early this year, a physical shop. Right now we've got an online store and we're still working on it on a continual basis. So they can find us on fabricanaprints.com. We also do consultations. Because you know, African prints are so popular nowadays. A lot of people are doing.
Everyone's jumping on that bandwagon.
The market is so oversaturated. Mm. So I had to find something that differentiates us from the rest. So we do deliveries, we consult, we go to the client, sit with the client, measure them, decide on a design, and then make and deliver to the client. So for those of you who can't come to, we've got a studio in Joburg CBD. So for those who cannot go to the studio, we go to them.
Oh, okay. But like where can people get hold of you? Do you have an email address? Do you have social media?
Yeah, info@fabricanaprints.com. Instagram is @fabricanaprints and our Facebook, Fabricana African Prints.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
You need to get a Twitter handle though for some of us
I know.
Who are technologically challenged and we found Twitter and we're not moving.
Oh, I thought Twitter was a bit higher grade for me, so I don't know.
I think everything else is more higher grade for me. That's
right. Yeah.
So, Masha, how do you intend to help people like Siape and as well Tanya and all those businesses who need a wider platform, you know, to get their stuff out there?
I think for us, it's basically giving them the exposure. As you heard that Siape said, they've got an online profile within their business.
Mm.
But what we do then becomes our core to provide that platform. We market the platform for them.
Mm.
So for instance, all she will have to do is she put her products on our site and basically we do the marketing and then people come on the site and then they buy the stuff from there.
And according to your research, do you think that this is the way business is going?
Basically, I did a lot of research. In South Africa, e-commerce year on year has been growing between around 25 to 30%, which is huge. Mm. And interestingly enough, I forgot the guy's name from Nigeria. I mean, he wrote a nice research article around how e-commerce can be an enabler for unemployment as well as poverty as well.
Because one of the product that you'll have or product mixes, I suppose, is crafts as well.
Exactly, crafts and arts as well.
Instead of having people on the side of the road trying to sell you this, what could be amazing, but you just don't have the time, and sometimes you just don't have the cash.
That's the thing, and that's basically what we're trying to provide, and also to expand people's market base, and I think that's the main thing. I mean, I was fortunate enough to travel, and I went to Austria, and these guys, funny enough, they were coming from South Africa. And, you know, I had a conversation with them, and I looked at the stuff that they bought. Seemingly, it's African stuff. And I was like,
no ways. Crafts or art?
I'll buy such. Yes, it was crafts. And I was like, there's no ways I'll buy something like this and I'll call it African. So basically, I would like hair stuff or people from Austria, for example, to put that as an example, to be able to access hair stuff. Mm. And that's basically the platform that we're trying to create. And more than that, I think it's around the development as well of your suppliers. You know, it's not everybody that's as advanced as the two ladies that we have here.
Yeah.
It's for that lady that's sitting at some corner street selling something that we might feel that, you know, could sell out there.
And perhaps she just needs help getting to a point where she's selling in volume so that she can grow
that's basically
become
what
a proper
like
business.
To do. And I think with my operations experience, it will be good to help such people to work out what is their capacity, how can they expand, and all of that. So it'll go beyond just the relationship between us and the suppliers, basically.
Wow. Awesome stuff, guys. I'm just trying to see what people have been saying on Twitter right now. It's spring day as well, by the way. I forgot. Mm. It's the first day of spring. I never know what day it is, actually. So what are your guys' plans for spring day? Let me start with you, Siapi. What are you planning to do today? I mean, it's spring. What's happening? Love is in the air.
Okay, what? The main excitement was coming here. Beyond this, it's work, normal work.
It's another day for you, right? Like the rest
day.
Of us.
Okay. Yeah, being a mom, going back home, doing homework. It's a normal day for me.
Okay,
yeah.
So your kids clearly wear your brand.
Yes, they do.
You live the brand. Your husband wears a brand. You wear the brand every day.
He's a little bit on the shy side when it comes to African prints. But I try and put in a little bit there of a print on his collar, on his cuffs. Yes.
And I suppose that's a great thing, right?
Yeah.
You're getting to understand that side of the market that is very conservative.
Yes.
But, you know, a little bit of color never hurt anybody. And maybe that's, you know, slowly what we need to start introducing to them.
Yes, that's true. Mm. So in very subtle, just like we are doing with our home range that we're working on.
Tell me about
moment.
That home range, actually.
Okay. So we're going to be introducing cushions, scatter cushions.
Awesome.
Throws, spring is coming. So very subtle prints incorporated into linens and cottons and suedes, subtly. That's about it.
Okay. I can't wait till you guys do like a linen range, you know, like for the bed and stuff like that.
Okay.
But
like
it's a
coming
subtle African print for
it's
the bed.
Coming up. So we're introducing very slowly, testing the market first and then seeing how it goes.
Okay.
And then we're also planning on printing our own fabrics here in South Africa. It's a little bit hard to get. We source locally from local suppliers. They bring their stuff from West Africa, East Africa, Central Africa. But we're planning on printing our own, designing and printing our own African print fabrics.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, what does that entail? Like expensive machines?
Yes, it does. It takes me back to the days of Nampak printing.
So maybe you and Lerato can talk after the show.
In fact, I know of someone that actually does the printing.
Yeah.
They're based in Hammarskraal. So.
Hammarskraal is not too far from Soshanguve, where I'm from.
Yeah.
And yourself, Tanya, what are your plans for spring day?
It's meeting with the girls and we're going to Cafe Hemingway's. A very good friend of mine, he's just taken over Cafe Hemingway's.
Yeah.
Well, he's just bought it.
Gonna have a couple of cocktails?
Have a couple of cocktails, have a good meal.
Just live your life, girl.
You got
every right to do what you want to do.
With the sisters.
Yeah. Nice one. Mr. Masha?
Well, I'm a spring baby.
Yeah.
I was born on the 5th of September.
Oh, wow.
Happy birthday, man.
Well, thank you. Normally what I do is I celebrate my birthday for the entire month of September.
Sure. All right.
We'll be starting the celebrations today. We'll see what will happen.
But anything can happen.
Yeah, I'm going away for the weekend as well from tomorrow, which I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. Spring.
Watch that hip,
man.
Don't do too much hip action.
Exactly.
But enjoy it. Anyway, on my side, I think I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I didn't even know it was spring day, so it's like caught me by surprise. Okay. I guess I'll go to a park. I'll find a park. And what do people do at parks anyway? Just chill. Read a book.
Read a book.
Take some bread for the ducks.
Okay. Feed the ducks.
Hopefully not get robbed at the park, because that happens a lot too. But thank you guys for being here with me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Just one final one. Tanya, where can people find your product at the moment?
At the moment, we haven't launched a website because, as I said to you, embryo stage.
So I guess we'll be finding it on African.com.
You will, yes. And obviously people can contact me directly on tanya.detoy@telkomsa.net.
All right. Good stuff. Have a great day. Thank you for coming to the studio. Am African launching anytime soon?
We're being ambitious and we're saying December.
Okay.
But if that doesn't work out, we'll push it out next year slightly, maybe around April or so.
All right. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Well, that has been my two cents for this week. Candace, please come back soon. I miss you. It's not the same without you. I'm not handling it. But I guess, you know, Chris Brown, actually, it was a big story yesterday. He got arrested. So I'm going to play out with Chris Brown. He's been acting up again. Did you hear the story, guys?
No.
Apparently, he was at his house and he was sitting with a friend of his. He was wearing a big diamond chain. And what happened was, you know, these guys have girls around all the time. So one of the girls who was there at the house in a bikini wanted to see this diamond chain on the friend. And as she was approaching it to touch it, Chris Brown pulled a gun out on her. And then the cops were called, and while the cops were outside his house and he had the gun in his hand, he started ranting on Twitter and posting a whole bunch of craziness. So, yeah, I guess he's drifting. And here it is, drifting, Chris Brown. Jeepers. And on that note, we'll see you next week, same place, same time. It's been great being with you on the Weekly Mashup. We out.
This is CliffCentral.com.